This reading is from the Muslim Quran, Surat Al-Anbiya, Prophets 51-71. This foundational story of our faith comes from Abraham's youth, which our Bible says nothing about. Linda and Norman's niece, Dina, who is a devout Muslim, found this in the Quran. When I read the story, "We" stands for God, which makes sense for Muslims, believe that the angel Gabriel dictated the Quran to Muhammad. There were other sources of stories about Abraham that our Bible doesn't draw on, and presumably this story from the Quran came from one of those sources. Anyway, Norman will put the story in his words in the reflection. This will be the first time he has used the Quran as a scripture reading and preached on the Quran in a service. We gave Abraham his integrity formally, and we knew him well. When he said to his father and his people, "What are these statues to which we are devoted?" They said, "We found our parents worshipping them." He said, "You and your parents are in evident error." They said, "Are you telling us the truth, or are you just playing?" He said, "Your Lord is the Lord of the heavens and the earth, the one who created them, and I bear witness to that. My God, I will have a plan for your statues after you have gone away." So he reduced them into pieces, except for their biggest, that they may return to it. They said, "Who did this to our gods? He is certainly one of the wrongdoers." They said, "We heard a youth mentioning him. He is called Abraham." They said, "Bring him before the eyes of the people so that they may witness." They said, "Are you the one who did this to our gods, O Abraham?" He said, "But it was the biggest of them that did it. Ask them if they can speak." Then they turned to one another and said, "You yourselves are the wrongdoers." But they reverted to their old ideas. "You certainly know that these do not speak." He said, "Do you worship instead of God? What can you neither benefit you in anything nor harm you? Fie on you and on what you worship instead of God. Do not understand." They said, "Burn him and support your gods if you are going to act." We said, "O fire, be coolness and safety upon Abraham." They planned to harm him, but we made them the worst losers, and we delivered him and Lot to the land that we blessed for all people. Gospel reading is from Mark 12:28-34. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord of our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord with your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' Then the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' After that, no one dared to ask him any question." The secular reading, this is a quote from 21 Lessons for the 21st Century by Yuval Noah Harari. It is attributed to the Emperor Ashoka. Ashoka ruled an empire in India, teeming with myriad religions, sects, and gurus. He gave himself the official titles of Beloved of the Gods, and He who regards everyone with affection. Sometime around 250 BC, he issued an imperial edict of tolerance, which proclaimed that, "Beloved of the gods, the king who regards everyone with affection, honors both ascetics and the householders of all religions, and values that there would be growth in the essentials of all religions." Growth in essentials can be done in different ways, but all of them have as their root restraint in speech. That is, not praising one's own religion or condemning the religions of others without good cause. Whoever praises his own religion due to excessive devotion and condemns others with the thought, "Let me glorify my own religion," only harms his own religion. Therefore, contact between religions is good. One should listen to and respect the doctrines professed by others. Beloved of the gods, the king who regards everyone with affection desires that all shall be well learned in the good doctrines of other religions. For the word in scripture, for the word among us, and for the word within us, we give thanks.
For this service was sort of born 2 or 3 months ago when I was reading that book, 21 Lessons for the 21st Century by Yuval Harari. He said, from an ethical perspective, monotheism was arguably one of the worst ideas in human history. Seeing as how Christianity is based soundly on the foundation of monotheism, that there is one God and not a whole lot of gods, I had to give that challenge some thought. So I started with Abraham, as the Bible makes it pretty clear that he was definitely wedded to the idea that there was just one God. We all have some ideas about what Abraham did from the Bible stories we know. He was promised a son, Isaac, who would have as many descendants as there are stars in the sky when he and Sarah were far too old to have kids. Then there was the almost sacrifice of Isaac. We may know about Hagar and Ishmael and Sarah's jealousy of Hagar. we probably know about Sodom and Gomorrah and Abraham bargaining with God's angels for them not to destroy the cities. But the cities were destroyed, and Lot's wife turned around to look when they were escaping and was turned into a pillar of salt. All this, I'm sure, is bringing back memories for you. And there's a lot more detail, including Abram and Sarah's name change. Abram being blessed by the priest Melchizedek, and some comings and goings between Canaan and Egypt. But Abram's real achievement isn't mentioned specifically in our Bible. For that, we have to turn to the Quran. The Bible has lots of detail about Abraham, but not about when he was a youth. It really misses the point concerning Abraham's real influence. As a young man, Abraham introduced the idea that there was only one God, monotheism. Before Judaism, Christianity, and Islam got established, the common religious scene was for a pantheon of gods to be believed in and worshipped. And we can all think in general terms of the Greek gods, Zeus and his lot, the Roman ones like Mithras, that was a serious rival to Christianity, the Thor and Woden of the Nordic regions, the Baals that gave Elijah a bit of trouble, the Hindu gods like Shiva and many others. With the exception of the Buddhists, who don't believe in any god at all, a plethora of gods used to be believed in by pretty well all humanity. Now, thanks to what Abraham started, monotheism is accepted by a majority of the world's peoples. We don't know if Abraham and the rest of the characters in the story actually existed, and it doesn't matter whether they did or not. But the story has been hugely influential. Because he introduced monotheism, I think it is reasonable to claim that Abraham has been the most influential character in all human history. And Dr. Harari would then add to that that he's not been a very good influence. That passage from the Quran was a bit hard to understand in its ponderous English version. And it wasn't really fair to give you, Lynn, the job of reading it. But it really should be one of the foundational stories of our faith. Now, I'm going to put it in my own words. So this is the story. God or God's angels say that Abraham was a good man. And Abraham said his elders and people were wrong to have been devoted to idols. Well, the elders and his people of the village he was in did not take him seriously. But Abraham said, "I bore witness to the God of heaven and earth," and he warned them that he had ideas about what he was going to do to their statues. And when they went away, he cut them up, except for one. The people thought that the youth Abraham had destroyed their idols, so they got him and they questioned him. Now, Abraham got his own back for the people not taking him seriously and said, that it's the one remaining idol that destroyed the rest of them. Now, go and ask him. Ask him whether he did it. And the people argue amongst themselves. And then they said to Abraham, you knew that idols don't speak. Abraham had outsmarted them by then pointing out that they were worshipping powerless things rather than the one true God. So the people were not exactly open-minded, as people can tend to be, and they tried to burn Abraham to death. But God kept the fire cool, and Abraham and Lot went off to the promised land. It's a shame we don't have that story in our Bible, and therefore we don't know it. Now, I want to make this relevant to what's happening in the church at this time of year. This is Lent. Lent is the time when we take stock of ourselves, prepare for the events of Easter by, we're meant to, self-denial and examining ourselves and that awful word, repenting. To put it pretty traditionally, it is a spiritual cleaning out of the mess of life in preparation to receive our salvation from Jesus, achieved through his death and resurrection at Easter. So that awful word, repentance. As I expect you know, I'm not one to place too much significance on our tendency for personal failings. And as I've said before, I don't dismiss the Ten Commandments. Breaking them causes a fair bit of human misery, but it is nothing compared to the misery caused by the communal failings of culture, like nationalism, racism, and prejudice. So today I'm going to mention a couple of really troubling nasties that are a consequence of mindless monotheism. Actually, there's nothing wrong with monotheism as such, but it has been a really convenient tool to advance human greed and lust for power, as well as a good bit of sadism and arrogance. I deliberately chose the gospel reading I did about Jesus saying there were two great commandments, because combined with the second commandment about loving our neighbour as ourselves, I think monotheism is fine. But otherwise, it can lead to some of the worst failings of humanity, and there I have to agree with that wise man, Harari. The first failing that I can see is that dispensing with belief in gods associated with rivers and trees and animals, the moon and the sun, has meant that we've tended to regard them as inferior, inanimate objects that exist for our use and our convenience. If we don't have reverence for the trees, for example, we just get stuck in with our chainsaws, with not a thought for the living thing that as is the tree. No respect for its dignity, no asking for forgiveness from a god of the forest for despoiling it, and depriving other living things of their use of it. So we just use it for our desires. We monotheists have tended mindlessly to accept that other parts of this world don't have some spiritual reality attached to them without recognizing that can lead to treating these things as just commodities for our use. I use the term partner species for other living things. And if we regard our neighbour as not being limited to human beings, but include all our partner species, then loving our neighbour would stop us abusing the world around us for our own benefit. And that is why I use that famous picture of the Earth from space as the illustration on the order of service. That is our neighbour. When I first thought of this, I felt good that the Whanganui River has been given the status of a person. And that is good, even though it does seem a little bit silly to me. But why the Whanganui River and not the Clutha or the Hutt or one of the Hutt's tributaries, like that was polluted more than most, the Waifatoo stream? The reason surely is that the Whanganui is uniquely valuable to we humans. It is very much valued by the local people and their traditions. And fair enough, it's a lovely river running through a lovely valley. But I guess that's better than nothing. But where is recognition of its intrinsic value? When we say cleaning up our waterways is important, why is it? Is it just because we want to swim in them without getting tummy bugs? Or is it because they are naturally clean? That other living things depend on them being clean, and that is simply how they should be. If we happen to believe there was a god of the Waifatoo stream who had to be treated with respect, it would have remained clean and pristine. Well, there is a god of the Waifatoo stream if you identify God with the intrinsic value of that stream. So that is one result of unthinkingly adopting monotheism. It's a sin that needs to be recognized by all we religious people. it is relevant to identify that in the Lent season. At least I think it is. Now, there's a second undesirable result of our monotheism, and that is intolerance, closed-mindedness, and pride, which again breaks the command to love our neighbour as ourselves. Since I put this service together and wrote this address, the atrocity happened in Christchurch. We don't know what was in the mind of that murderer in Christchurch, but he must have been convinced that he was right and Muslims were wrong, and that overcame any command to love his neighbour. There would be some congregations that might have got just a tiny bit prickly about having the Quran read in church and treated as holy scripture. Though, of course, pride and seeking power comes into it, thinking only we know God and understand what he or she wants, and our scriptures are the only true ones, has contributed to the Crusades and some of the religious persecution and the division of the Protestant churches in particular over issues of doctrine. All that comes down to the dark side of there is only one God. The dark side is to add, these are his only scriptures, and there is only one way to understand them, which is our way. And if you have a different name for God, if you understand him differently, then you are wrong, and you need to be one to the truth, which happens to be our truth. If there were lots of different gods, then this particular sin would have been far more difficult to fall into. It would be impossible to fall into if we love our neighbour as ourselves, and hence seek to understand them and respect them in their different beliefs. The reading we had about that Indian emperor Ashoka, who incidentally is referred to on a timeline where if you go and see the Terracotta Warriors, you see what's called the Great Emperor Ashoka referred to it. Anyway, that reading we had and his open encouragement of people to value their own religious beliefs, but also the different beliefs of different gods held by others, is one that would be hard to accept in a narrow monotheist church. So in conclusion, my Lent message is simply to be aware that the positive foundation of our faith, there is only one God, does come with really serious pitfalls if we don't recognize them and live by the second great commandment, to love our neighbor, and so do our best to avoid those pitfalls, which is repentance Lent style. Also, just as a final comment, Jesus didn't say two warm, fuzzy, nice-to-haves are to love God and love our neighbor. They are commandments, full stop.